Welcome to Knowing God in the Word, brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry, publishers of Seed and Bread. I'm your host, Bob Juneau, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. This radio program is for the purpose of helping listeners fulfill the greatest need we have as believers, to know God. Today, Nathan will wrap up his teaching series on the flow of truth with Finding Your Way Around the Bible. And now, Bible teacher Nathan Johnson.
Thanks, Bob. In finishing up our study on the flow of truth, we discussed the fact that oftentimes people simply cannot find their way around the Word of God because they're not familiar with certain passages. I want to make sure you're familiar with these passages, that you know what they say, and that you're believing what they say. And we were discussing the story of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. And we had left off when Peter got to the house of Cornelius, and he had called his house together. Peter entered, and in Acts 10:34, Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality." Now, Peter explains what he means by that. He doesn't simply stop there and say that God shows no partiality. He goes on in verse 35, "But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." Right there, that was the basis of a man's relationship with God from the days of Adam right down even to the time in which we live. The basis of acceptance is that a man shall fear God and work righteousness. Now you might say, well, what is this righteousness? I'll tell you what, it isn't simply going back to the Bible and picking up a command here and a command there and saying, I will do this and that will be righteousness. It's not picking up something about tithing or picking up something about the feasts or picking up something about baptism and saying, I'll do this and that will be righteousness. Not at all. For you and for me, it's like when the people came to the Lord Jesus Christ in John 6 and verse 28 and asked him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. For you who hear my voice, and for those who have heard of Jesus Christ, I tell you, there is no righteousness that you can do that will make you accepted in the sight of God other than to put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, to believe in the one whom God hath sent." Now, up to this time, Cornelius had had no such opportunity, but he's going to be given the opportunity. And Peter here, he talks not more than about 5 minutes. It would take you maybe about 5 minutes to say all this if you spoke slowly and carefully. I could read it in 1 minute. And if I would quote it slowly, it would take 2. But they had a much slower way of speaking back then. Yet we know that the house of Cornelius was touched. And that is the last you ever hear about Cornelius. I stress this for the fact that the man Cornelius did not become a herald of the salvation-bringing message to other Gentiles. He may have wished to do this, but he couldn't do so without a divine commission. For Paul was the one man whom God commissioned and whom God authorized to proclaim Christ to the Gentiles in the Acts period. Now, the next passage that I want you to be familiar with and have it fixed in your mind, because if you don't have these passages fixed in your mind, you'll simply have no understanding of certain things. Well, the next passage is found in Romans 15 and verse 21. And I will simply read that verse and then we'll go back to get some background. But Romans 15 and verse 21. "But as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see. And those who have not heard shall understand. Remember that I told you that it was God's purpose and program in the Acts period that every man, woman, and responsible child in Israel should hear the salvation-bringing gospel and have a clear-cut opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus as their Messiah and personal Savior. Now, the Lord had never gone out of the land of Israel, and he told his disciples not to take any road that would lead them to the Gentiles, but to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And it was God's determination that to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. Not just hear, but see. And they that have not heard shall understand. What they'll do it about it then is up to them. But God says they are going to see. They are going to hear. And he is going to get through to them. And they will understand. That was God's purpose in the Acts period. In this quotation, Paul gives of Isaiah 52 and verse 15, in Romans 15 and verse 21, is sufficient to prove the proposition I set forth to you, that every Israelite was to hear the gospel in the Acts period. Now the reason for that, Paul says in verse 20, Romans 15, 20, the reason Paul was such a diligent worker was because of this. He says, and so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, to herald the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. If Christ had already been preached and declared in a place, Paul wouldn't go there. He wasn't going simply to build on another man's foundation. What he wanted to do was to speak to those who had not been spoken to perform miracles before those who had never seen, and to cause people to understand who had never heard. Then Romans 15 and verse 22. For this reason, I also have been much hindered from coming to you. Someone had already spoken in Rome, and there was already a company of believers there. So Paul would not go and simply build upon another man's foundation, and that's why he hadn't been to Rome yet. But then verse 23 he says, but now no longer having a place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you. So it had all already been finished by the time Paul wrote Romans. The sound had gone forth, and Israel all over the world had heard. You'll read that in Romans chapter 10. And verses 18 through 20. So let's look at that. Romans chapter 10 and verses 18 through 20. Paul writes, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. Now Romans was written very late in the Acts period. And therefore I declare to you, God's purpose was fulfilled. That purpose was accomplished. And according to Romans 15, 21 through 23, and Romans 10, 18 through 20, every Israelite on earth was covered, those outside the land and those inside the land. Every one of them was reached and given a clear-cut opportunity with a divinely inspired message, and that message confirmed with the signs following. They were given this opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus as their Messiah and personal Savior. Now, we were just in Romans 10, and there's another passage I want to bring to your attention, and that is Romans 10 and verse 15. But we won't start there because the context of this is most important. We'll go back to verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is still true. But I will say is you'd better establish the right to call. Don't try to call on the name of the Lord unless you establish the right to call. What do I mean by that? Well, again, Otis Q. Sellers, the founder of the Word of Truth Ministry, whose material I am copying almost by rote here in this series, he gives this example. He says, I belong to the Automobile Club, I would take that to be AAA, of California. And I have the right to call on them if I have a flat tire or run out of gasoline or need any service of any kind that they provide. I have to establish the right to call first. And if I call on them, I expect them to answer. They are the only organization on earth that I belong to, and so far they haven't let me down. I've also established the right to call on the name of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. God is my Father. I have established the right to call upon Him. So back to Romans 10 and verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And I do not believe that anyone would call on the Lord who had not believed on Him. If I had no faith whatsoever in the Automobile Club, AAA, they would never get my money that I pay them each year. I wouldn't become a member if I didn't have some faith. And faith is belief. So Romans 10:14, how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Now when he says, how shall they preach unless they are sent? Their sent is apostello. And so it means, how shall they proclaim unless they are commissioned? And here is how it operated. In the Acts period, divinely commissioned men went forth to herald a divinely inspired message. In the Acts period, no one could preach. No one could herald the truth of God unless he was actually commissioned by God to do so. And the word is apostello. We often think that there were only 12 apostles. Not in the least. Anyone whom God commissioned became an apostle. To whatever extent it may have been, anyone at all who had a divine commission was an apostle. And so when they proclaimed the word, then men heard. And when they heard, then they could believe. And when they believed, then they called. These are the steps in the Acts period. There had to be a God-commissioned man speaking a God-given message. As he spoke this message, men heard, believed, and were saved, and they established the right to call on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, I told you that in the Acts period, the presentation of Jesus Christ and the proclamation of the gospel of Christ, that was the power of God unto salvation to all who believed, was done only by God-commissioned and God-authorized men. This proclamation was always absolute truth. It was never written. It wasn't memorized and then repeated over and over. It was always fresh from God each time it was spoken. One man could proclaim it just as well as another, whether he were an ignorant fisherman or an educated statesman. One could proclaim it just as well as the other. There were no great preachers in the Acts period. There were no weak preachers in the Acts period. If they went forth and spoke on behalf of God, God supplied the message, and God supplied everything that was necessary. Now remember, in my propositions, I told you that in the Acts period, they were given only one opportunity to hear the message. That truth most people seem to stumble at and think it was just preached over and over, but it was not. In the Acts period, a man was given only one opportunity. And that is established in Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6, where the author writes, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, and as God said, they will hear and they will understand. Now you know there are many things people hear and understand that they never, never act upon. Think of all the warnings that have been given about some things and how well some people understand them, like the dangers of smoking and the dangers of alcohol and all these things, and yet they go right on doing them." So Paul says here, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. And in the Acts period, if you heard the word of God from a God-commissioned man speaking a God-inspired message, you were enlightened. So Hebrews 6:4, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift." And in the Acts period, you always tasted the heavenly gift. There were miracles that you would see. And thus by seeing, you became a partaker. They have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. The miracle might be performed on you. That was often the case. And they did taste of the heavenly gift. They were made partakers of the Holy Spirit. It was the Spirit of God who was speaking. So in the Acts period, everyone who heard the message was made a partaker of the Holy Spirit. That is, a going along with the Holy Spirit. The word is not quite as definite as the word partakers, but partakers will do. And then they tasted the good word of God and the powers of the eon to come. For that is what they were seeing. For when, say, a lame man was healed, that spoke of the powers of the eon to come, when all lame men would be healed, as God had promised that the lame would leap like the hart, and the ears of the deaf would be unstopped, and the eyes of the blind would see. Now, if they would fall away after all this in the Acts period, and it's important, this has nothing to do with today, the dispensation of grace, but if in the Acts period, after a divinely commissioned man came to them, speaking a God-inspired message, and that message was confirmed with manifest miraculous signs following it, if after all that they fell away, then, as he says, it was impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. In the Acts period, one was given one and only one opportunity to hear the message. The heralds of the gospel never spoke it to the same people twice. If one couldn't believe it without hesitation, that is, the testimony of a God-commissioned man speaking a divinely inspired message, and that message confirmed with the signs that followed it, there was nothing more God could do or would do. Those who would not believe under those conditions just demonstrated that they were not worthy to be among the outcalled of God. Now, the next passage I would call your attention to is in Romans 9 and verse 27. Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel, "Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved." Now, this word here is not strictly remnant. It is a residue. It was God's purpose in the Acts period not to save Israel as such. That will come later, and God is going to save the people of Israel. But God was doing a very special work. Verse 28, "For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth." And that means a conclusive and concise work. In other words, God started to do something on the day of Pentecost, and that was all going to be finished and tied up by the time you get to the pronouncement made in Acts 28 and verse 28. God's purpose was to save a remnant. These were to be his in the day when he made up his jewels. It was not going to be a long work lasting over 1950 years. This is not the work God is doing today. Paul says here a remnant is going to be saved, and they were saved. He says he is going to, as the Greek seems to say, do a conclusive and concise work. And he did. And you need to be familiar with that to understand the Acts period. Now the next passage we want to look at is Romans 11 and verse 13, where Paul says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. I have said to you that the apostle Paul was the only man commissioned to the Gentiles. It was not the salvation-bringing message that was authorized, but Paul who could go to the Gentiles." Right here, Paul sets forth the fact that he became the mediator between God and the Gentiles in respect to that message. If they heard it, they had to hear it through him. And the great principle of one mediator between God and man, that we read for today in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, did not become true until after Acts 28:28. And this verse is sufficient to show that the Apostle Paul was the one who was commissioned to the Gentiles in the Acts period. That is, Romans 11:13 is sufficient to show that. Today, any believer who knows the salvation-bringing message can take that message to any man on earth and never give any consideration to whether this is a Jew or Gentile. But in the Acts period, any God-believing Jew the message came to could proclaim it to a man of Israel, but the Apostle Paul was the only man who could proclaim it to the Gentiles. And he could do that only on the basis that he had first fulfilled his obligation to the people of Israel. I have already told you that at the close of the Acts period, God had accomplished everything he set out to do. As he says in Romans 10:18, "But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world." So at the end of the Acts period, no purpose of God had been left unfinished. No project was incomplete. The message had gone forth to the ends of the earth, and all Israel had heard. A remnant had been established. A company for his name had been called from among the Gentiles. And the blade stage of the kingdom of God had run its full course, as we read the stages of the kingdom in Mark 4. And the next stage, the manifest kingdom of God, was already to burst on mankind. Yet it did not come. Why not? Because everything has been suspended while God accomplishes a purpose which had never before been revealed. Today, his kingdom work is still suspended. God is taking the time to write into the history of his long dealings with men an absolute record of the grace that is inherent in his character. This is now being done in a dispensation and administration of grace. As I said before, and say now in closing, the truths that were applicable to the Acts period may or may not be applicable today. And so to discover what is and what isn't, we must ever be studying rightly to divide the word of truth. So that is our study of the flow of truth, and we'll move on to the study of the Acts period. But before we do that, there's one more important issue I want to study, and that is the question of what is a church? And we'll look at that in our next message.
What a wonderful thing it is to be able to find your way around the Bible. One of the first steps to make in this endeavor is to understand that the book of Acts stands out as a distinct, separate work. A separate work from the work God is doing today in this, the dispensation of grace. Thank you, Nathan, for your lesson on finding your way around the Bible. On our next program, Nathan will be doing a word study on a familiar word, church. with What Does Ecclesia Mean? Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that the more you study God's Word, the more you know and love God. For more information on the program, to hear past programs, and for other material Nathan has produced, please visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org. We also send out a weekly email newsletter in which Nathan does the same thing he does on this radio program, going verse by verse through the Bible and then discussing what it means. Email Nathan at this address, nathan@knowinggodintheword.org. Ask to be placed on this mailing list if you'd like, or you can also just ask a Bible question through this email. For more Bible study literature by Nathan and other Bible teachers, including Seed and Bread Bible studies, please visit the Word of Truth Ministry at seedandbread.org or write to us, The Word of Truth Ministry, P.O. Box 1609, Canyon Country, California, 91386. Your donations are always appreciated, but you will not be solicited for funds in any way, so feel free to contact us. This program has been brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry. I've been your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. So long for now, but we look forward to you joining us next week on Knowing God in the Word.